Morning, and welcome to worship at Good Shepherd Anglican Church on Treaty 6 territory in Edmonton, Alberta, on the fourth Sunday in Lent. Lent is a penitential season of preparation for our walk with Jesus to the cross and grave, but the fourth Sunday in Lent is usually called Refreshment Sunday, a day to relax our Lenten disciplines a bit and celebrate God's great mercy toward us. If you're visiting today, we're happy that you're here. If you're joining us online, Margaret will be your guide through this service. Please do alert her through the chat if you're having trouble hearing or seeing anything. I invite you now to take a moment in silence to prepare your heart for worship. Our service will begin in just a moment at the sound of a bell. The Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life.
O come, let us worship.
Please join in singing our opening hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Grace and peace to you from God.
God fill you with truth and joy.
The Lord be with you.
The Lord bless you.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, so that we may truly love you and worthily praise your holy name through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please join in singing our hymn of praise, Vagabonds.
Come all you vagabonds, come all you don't belongs, winners and losers, come people like me. Come all you travelers, tired from the journey, wait a while, stay a while, welcome you'll be. Come to the feast, there is room at the table, come let us meet in this place. With the King of all kindness who welcomes us in with the wonder of love and the power of grace. The wonder of love and the power of grace.
Dearly beloved of God, hear the teaching of Christ. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Spirit of God, search our hearts.
Hear God's word to all who turn to Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God has promised forgiveness to all who truly repent, turn to Christ in faith, and are themselves forgiving. In silence, we call to mind our sins. Let us confess our sins. Merciful God, we have sinned in what we have thought and said, in the wrong we have done, and in the good we have not done. We have sinned in ignorance, we have sinned in weakness, we have sinned through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry. We repent and turn to you. Forgive us for our Savior Christ's sake, and renew our lives to the glory of your name. Amen. Through the cross of Christ, God have mercy on you, pardon you, and set you free. Know that you are forgiven, and be at peace. God strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in life eternal. Amen. The peace of Christ rule in our hearts.
The word of Christ dwell in us richly. Amen.
Let us pray. Most merciful God, by the passion of your Son, Jesus Christ, you delivered us from the power of darkness. Grant that through faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may be found acceptable in your sight through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated for readings from God's holy word.
A reading from the book of Numbers. From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us pray together a portion of Psalm 107 using the emergent Psalter method. Talisa sang the antiphon for us just before church started, so if you're having difficulty, just listen a couple of times and we'll pick it up. We'll follow her lead.
Then they cry to their God in their trouble, in their distress. The steadfast love, for the wondrous deeds, for the humanity.
May those who are wise give heed to these things. Consider the love of God.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let all those whom the Lord has redeemed proclaim that he redeemed them from the hand of the foe. He gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the south and from the south. Some were fools and took to rebellious ways. They were afflicted because of their sins.
Then they cried to their God in their trouble, in their distress. Give your thanks to God for the steadfast love, for the wondrous deeds, for humanity. May those who are wise give heed to these things. Consider the love of God.
They abhorred all manner of food and drew near to death's door. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and delivered them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them and saved them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and the wonders he does for his children. Let them offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and tell of his acts with shouts of joy.
Then they cried to their God in their trouble, in their distress. Give your thanks to God for the steadfast love, for the wondrous deeds, for humanity. May those who are wise give heed to these things.
Consider the love of God.
The second reading, Ephesians 2:1-10. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to rise in body or spirit and join in singing in heart or in voice the hymn which announces the gospel, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Joanne, for adding those preceding verses to the gospel. It's hard to trust when there's a snake in the garden. Sometimes we act like the breakdown in trust in our society that we all have experienced started with Donald Trump shouting fake news all the time. But really, it began back in the beginning. When the serpent in Eden first dripped his venom into Eve's ear in order to poison our first parents' relationship with their creator. By just asking questions, the snake tore down the trust that lay between God and God's creatures. He taught them to question whether God had told them the truth about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He urged them to take what they wanted rather than receive what God gave. He prompted them to push for more rather than remain content with having their every need met. God met the Israelites' needs too. God heard their groaning in Egypt and set them free. God led them through the Red Sea on dry ground and in the desert fed them with bread from heaven. And yet, again, our ancestors in the faith were not content. They wandered in the wilderness, mired in misery, constantly complaining that they detested this miserable food. They did not trust that God got them, despite daily proof, mercies new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. And neither did Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a scholar. He knew the scriptures like the back of his hand. He was extremely familiar with the Old Testament. And he came to Jesus by night to ask him how. Because he thought he needed to understand how, in order to be able to accomplish it. But Jesus responded in a very Jesus-like way by reminding Nicodemus that there was nothing for him to accomplish. Nicodemus hadn't accomplished being born. That happened by another's effort, not his. And so understanding how is not what's important. Trusting that God's got you is. God's got us. Just like our mothers had us when we were tucked up in their womb. All we had to do was sit tight and trust that we would be born by her effort, on her body's timing. And Jesus says that the same is true about being born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who trusts him may not perish but have eternal life. God loved the world, period. God loved it in creation when he gave Adam and Eve and every creature a beautiful garden to dwell in, to eat without effort, to live without labor, to thrive without worrying about survival. God loved in liberating those who had become enslaved and leading them to the land of promise, feeding them with their daily bread along the way. But over and over again, humankind has failed to trust that the God who so loved the world every single day so far would continue to do so forever and ever. So we worried about the future. And the only way to predict the future is to control it, as novelist Naomi Alderman reminds us in her novel, The Future. So we decided, if we want to predict the future, whether God is going to love us, then we better set up some rules about who God will love and how God will love them to make it predictable. God loves us when we do X and doesn't when we do Y. Therefore, do X and live, do Y and be condemned to the outer darkness where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. We decided as human beings to take the power of determining what will happen next, the knowledge of good and evil, we might call it, out of God's hands. And take it into our own. Once Adam and Eve had the knowledge of good and evil, they could judge for themselves who to save and who to condemn. In Alderman's novel, she speaks of a future that is easily imaginable from our present. One where tech billionaires develop an AI able to predict the end of the world with enough lead time for them to get to their bunkers for safety. They don't use this power to save the world. The only way to predict the future is to control it, and so this is a future, this end of the world, that they put into motion, and they from which they rescue only themselves, abandoning the rest of us to the fate they have condemned us to. In interviews, Alderman has acknowledged that it is not only billionaires who are eager to flee the consequences of the world we have created, who no longer entrust their future to the community. It is a natural reaction to society's increasing wealth. We don't borrow a cup of sugar from our neighbors anymore because we can afford to buy our own sugar. Billionaires are more susceptible to this breakdown in trust than the rest of us, but it comes for everybody. You trust people less and less when you can get your needs met without having to ask anybody else for help, Alderman says. But just as we could not be born without having to ask our mother for help, we cannot be born again without Jesus's help. He who has been lifted up on the cross is the only medicine for our predicament. We can't cure the snake bite of mistrust in any other way, and boy, have we tried. The church, and let's be honest, many of us individually in our heart of hearts, have set up system after system and rubric after rubric as though judgment between good and evil were up to us, rather than up to the one who, rather than saving himself and abandoning us to our self-condemnation, to the consequences of a future we had created through our own selfish choices, stooped down to redeem us from the ruin of our own wrongdoing by bearing all those consequences himself on the cross. Just like our forebears, we are afraid of a future we can't predict. And so we seek to control it, even when that attempt at control produces a fate that is worse than the one God has promised. We trust not the God who sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, so we rush to do the condemning for him, so that we get to decide who is saved and who is lost. But that is not the future God has formed for us. God designs a destiny based on love, not fear. Christ came to rescue, not to condemn. And all he asks in return is that we believe in him. Not in his teachings or our interpretation of his teachings that we made up. Jesus is much less concerned that we get every single doctrinal point exactly correct than we are. But Jesus does want us to believe in him. Like we believe in our child racing toward the goal. Like we believed in our mother pushing us into the world. Like we trust that God's got us no matter what we do or don't do. Like God got Adam and Eve and even Cain after he committed the worst sin ever of murdering his brother. Like God got all those whiny, complainy Israelites. Like God got Nicodemus. God's got us. And when we believe in him, really, truly believe that to be true, then we are set free to live a life that builds a better future, a happier future, based not on control but on trust, where we can eat without effort, live without labor, thrive without worrying about survival, and share a cup of sugar with our neighbors rather than judging whether or not they are worthy to receive the free gift God has given. Because we remember that we were not, and God gave it to us anyway. God's got us. Lift up your eyes. Amen. Rising now in body or spirit, let us confess the faith of our ancestors as we say, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified and has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As we come into our time of prayer, I invite you to adopt whatever position brings your heart to prayer. Whether standing, kneeling, or sitting, you do not need to match your neighbor.
With confidence and trust, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the one holy Catholic and apostolic church throughout the world, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those preparing for baptism, and for their teachers and sponsors, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace in the world, that a spirit of respect and reconciliation may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all whom we have injured or offended, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For grace to amend our lives and to further the reign of God, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We are the body of Christ, brothers and sisters.
By one Spirit, we were baptized into one body.
Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I invite you to share with one another a sign of peace, whether that's a peace sign, a handshake, a hug with consent. If you are worshiping with us online, we send you our peace from here in the church building. Good morning, everyone, and welcome again to Good Shepherd Anglican Church. If you're visiting today, we are so very happy that you're here. If you would introduce yourself in the chat if you're a visitor online, so that others who are worshiping with you online can get to know you. And if you're here in person, please do join us after the service for coffee hour. We'd love to get to know you. Are there any birthdays or anniversaries to be blessed today? All right, Kathy's is on Saturday. Excellent. Barb? Your granddaughter on Wednesday. Okay. Faye, Ruby, are you raising a hand? Okay. Oh, yes? Okay, that's today. Your friend's birthday's today. Wonderful. Excellent. Anybody else? Miss anybody? Awesome. We will bless all of the birthdays and anniversaries after the announcements. Our Lenten exploration of holy living, holy dying continues next Saturday. Yesterday, we discussed funeral planning and the importance of letting your loved ones know your wishes ahead of time. We have more of the funeral customaries and forms on the welcome table. We have materials from every week so far, so please do take them. They are for your use. Next week, Reverend Joanne will give a talk about medically assisted dying, informed by the theological documents that have been released by the National Church. All are welcome Saturday mornings at 9:30. This Friday, March 15th, bring a pie, eat some pie. Natalie will lead us in a celebration of Pie Day. And so we hope that you will join us for that. Next Sunday, March 17th, is a green growing Sunday where the kids take over the service. Natalie will be making her preaching debut, so you won't want to miss that. That'll be exciting. And like every green growing Sunday, it's also luncheon Sunday, so I hope you'll bring something yummy to share. The Belonging Center volunteers will also be meeting next Sunday at noon to discuss how things are going as we enter the home stretch of the coldest time of the year. So next Sunday, March 17th, is a busy day. I hope you'll join us. We are still seeking applications for the parish administrator maternity leave coverage. If you know anyone who would fit the bill, please do encourage them to send their application ASAP. I have received a few, and I will begin scheduling interviews and making a decision. So if they are waiting for a future date, they might miss out and get somebody else get hired before then. So encourage anyone looking for a job to not wait and apply now. Holy Week begins with Palm Sunday on March 24th. If the observance of a whole Holy Week instead of just Easter is new to you, I invite you to give it a try. Maybe you'll discover a new favorite part, like stripping the altar on Maundy Thursday, or the Passion Gospel on Good Friday, or the candlelit waiting at the tomb as part of the great vigil of Easter. In particular, I'd like to invite you to watch with Jesus on Maundy Thursday night. The night before he died, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and asked his disciples to stay awake just 1 hour with him. You are welcome to sign up for a shift to stay awake with Jesus. Thursday night, from the end of the Eucharist until 9 a.m. the following morning, multiple people can be on the same shift, so if the time you want is already spoken for, that doesn't mean it's gone. It doesn't mean it's taken. You can go sit and pray next to them. It's fine. A professional security guard will be present all night long so that you can concentrate just on praying and not worry about whatever happens at the door. If you have any questions about this practice, don't hesitate to ask me. For all the other announcements, I do commend them to your attention. Please do check on your weekly roundup. All right, let's bless all the birthdays. Oh God, our times are in your hand. Look with favor, we pray, on your servants as they begin another year. Grant that they may grow in wisdom and grace and teach them to trust in your goodness all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. As we come into our time of offertory, I invite you to join in singing our offertory hymn, What the Lord Has Done in Me. To you, Lord, belongs the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty.
All that is in the heavens and the earth is yours, and of your own we give you.
The Lord is here.
God's Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to offer thanks and praise.
It is right indeed. It is our joy and our salvation. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise through Christ, your only Son. You are the source of all life and goodness. Through your eternal word, you have created all things. From the beginning, you formed us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. When we sinned and turned away, you called us back to yourself and gave your Son to share our human nature. Who, though tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin. Through him, therefore, we may triumph over sin and grow in grace. Therefore, with the faithful who rest in him, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing.
Holy, holy.
All glory and thanksgiving to you, Holy Father. On the night before he died, your Son, Jesus Christ, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." After supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me." Glory to you, Lord Christ. Your death we show forth, your resurrection we proclaim, your coming we await. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Therefore, loving God, recalling your great goodness to us in Christ, his suffering and death, his resurrection and ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate our redemption with this bread of life and this cup of salvation. Accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we offer to you through Christ, our great high priest. Send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be, which we receive, may be to us the body and blood of Christ, and that we, filled with the Spirit's grace and power, may be renewed for the service of your kingdom. United in Christ, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing, honor, and glory be yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us sing.
Our God in heaven, holy is your name. Your reign come, your will done on earth as in heaven. us into life, for yours is the kingdom and the power.
We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
We who are many are one body, for we all share the one bread.
Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean, our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat the crumbs from under your table. But you, Lord, are the God of our salvation, and share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us and we in him, and that we with the whole company of Christ may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen. Draw near and receive the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. In remembrance that he died for us, let us feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Savior, Jesus Christ, torn for you. He can remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice for the Son of our every stain of sin shed for you. Drink and remember, he drained his cup that all may enter in to receive the life of God. So we share in this bread. So with thankfulness and faith we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth.
Now to rise and join in praying our prayer of thanksgiving after communion. Praise and glory to you, Jesus Christ, our Savior, for you do not call the righteous, but us sinners to repentance. You draw us away from the easy road that would lead to our destruction. You call us instead to seek God's kingdom, to strive for what is right, and to lay up our treasure in heaven. Amen. In your heart or with your body, I invite you to bow down before the Lord. Grant, Almighty God, that your people may recognize their weakness and put their whole trust in your strength, so that they may rejoice forever in the protection of your loving providence, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Please join in singing our closing hymn, I Am the Bread of Life. Now to love and serve the Lord. Go in peace.
Amen. We go in the name of Christ.
like pickles. I'll be there too.
Are you going to be kidding me? Hey, you're going to be a festival.